The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We join in confessing the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon for today is based on the reading from the book of Acts. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. As you've gathered by now already, today is the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost, remember, means 50. It was an Old Testament religious festival that took on new importance in the New Testament. In the Old Testament in Israel, 50 days, 7 weeks to the day, after the sickle was first put to the grain, there was a harvest festival. On that day, processions of pilgrims bore baskets of their first fruits to the temple as a thank offering for the harvest. It was something kind of similar to our Thanksgiving Day. In later Judaism, Pentecost was 7 weeks to the day after the Passover Sabbath, to celebrate the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, where God had made a people for himself under Moses. 50 days after Jesus had been buried in the ground and sprouted to life on the third day, there was a harvest festival of the resurrection, Jesus being the first fruits. 50 days after his exodus through death into life, Jesus has a people, his Israel, his church, you, me. Pentecost is a day of celebration for the outpouring of the Spirit and the spread of the gospel to all nations. 7 weeks to the day after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he breathes the wind and fire of his Spirit upon his church. And the color red reminds us of Pentecost fire, the fire of Jesus' love poured out in the Holy Spirit. The day began in prayer. If you read back in Acts chapter 1, 120 disciples of Jesus gathered together with the 12 apostles all in one place for prayer at 9 in the morning on the day of Pentecost. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? People gathered together at a particular time in a particular place to receive the Holy Spirit. That sounds a bit like our gathering here now, doesn't it? It should. You know, we say every Sunday is an Easter, a proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection. Well, that makes every Sunday a Pentecost, filled with the Spirit-breathed fire of Jesus, where the word of Christ crucified for us is preached and heard. Pentecost is about the wind and fire of the Holy Spirit. There was a sound of rushing wind in the place where the disciples were gathered that day, a mighty wind from heaven. 7 weeks before, remember, back to the Easter day when Jesus appeared in the locked room and breathed on his disciples. Remember that? Ordaining them as ministers, authorizing them to forgive and retain sins in his name. That was a little Pentecost. Now, from the majesty of the right hand of God, he breathes on all his disciples, his entire church, pastors and people alike, men and women without exception. Remember what Moses wished for in that Old Testament reading, that God would pour out his Spirit on all people. Well, that came to pass on Pentecost. All God's people were given the Spirit. It was the Lord's big Pentecost, the harvest festival of his death and resurrection. Filled with the breath of the Holy Spirit, the people opened their mouths and spoke. Pentecost is about words and proclaiming the gospel with those words. Notice, everybody could understand the apostles speaking in whatever language they knew. They heard it in that language. Pentecost wasn't like you hear about Pentecostalism where they go blah, 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 and somebody's supposed to interpret it and say that's the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit speaks in real languages that people can understand. No one that day could say that Jesus was not for them. Everyone heard the good news of their sins forgiven in his own language and dialect. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, people from Pontus, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, all over the Roman Empire. Jews and Gentile converts to Judaism. By the end of the day, you read on in Acts, 3,000 people had been baptized into the name of Jesus. 3,000 believed that Jesus had died and rose for them. 3,000 received the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins. 3,000 went back to their homelands and homes, bearing the good news of Jesus crucified, risen, and reigning in their own native tongues to their children and co-workers and neighbors. The fire of Pentecost spread like a brush fire in dry grass on a windy day. It spread through the Roman Empire and Asia Minor to all nations. It is a fire that has blazed for 2,000 years of history across nations and peoples. Great political empires have come and gone. Great leaders have risen and fallen. Great churches have been built and torn down. Men have tried to stomp this fire out. But the harder they tried, the more it spread, the hotter it burned. The Spirit of Christ, who brings the fire of the Father's love, continues to fan the flames over his church. The Spirit breath of God came to each of us at our baptisms, filling us with heavenly fire, breathing life into our death, melting the chill of our cold and hardened hearts with God's burning desire to save us in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he continues to come to us wherever his word is read or preached or sung, at home, in church, across the kitchen table, across the backyard fence. We pray that the Spirit come to us every Lord's Day as we are gathered to hear the word, that he would give us ears to hear, minds to comprehend it, hearts to believe it, and tongues to respond in praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. We pray that the Spirit comes to us each day as we read the scriptures in our homes and teach our families and neighbors the truth of God's love in Christ. We pray that the Spirit would grab hold of our tongues so that we would be bold to speak the name of Christ to those who have not yet heard that Jesus died for them. The Holy Spirit is no idle, empty breeze. He is a mighty preacher who carries the living word of Christ from mouth to ears, from preachers to hearers, from Christians to the world, from you to your neighbor. The Spirit is the preacher, the proclaimer, the comforter, the counselor. The Bible calls him all these things. He takes what belongs to Jesus and he delivers it to a diseased, chaotic, divided, dying, broken, messed up world. Something we see every day, particularly now. But it's still a world for which Jesus died. And as I always say in catechism class, the Holy Spirit is the UPS delivery person of the Holy Trinity. The eternal life, worked by the Father's grace through the death and resurrection of his Son Jesus, is delivered to us by the Holy Spirit and made our own in our hearing the Word. You know, Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago in a place far away from here. We weren't there. How does the redemption that he earned there for us on the cross, how does that get to each of us individually through time and space where Jesus did his work for it? How does that happen? What Jesus won for us when he died on the cross, our redemption, our forgiveness, our salvation, our eternal life, the Spirit offers, delivers, and applies to us in baptism, in absolution, in the Holy Supper. And that rings good news into our ears. The Spirit's toolbox is filled with words, languages and dialects, nouns and verbs. His instrument is the tongue. It is human language filled with the divine word. Our tongues must be purified with the Spirit's refining fire before they can be instruments of God's word. Remember the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, who saw the Lord lifted high and exalted upon his throne. And what does Isaiah say when he sees the Lord in his glory? Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He thought he was toast on the spot, being a sinner in the presence of the Holy God. Isaiah knew that his lips were soiled by sin and needed to be cleansed. And what does God do? Does God smoke him? No. One of the fiery seraphim swoops down to the incense altar and takes a fiery coal and he touches it to Isaiah's lips and he absolves him of his sin. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. First, the prophet's mouth was purified by fire. Then he could preach the word. Our filthy mouths and our unclean hearts must be cleansed before they will be able to utter the praises of God. A lot of the word of God needs to go in before the praise and prayer comes out. You know how untamed the tongue can be. I mean, that's why the book of James says it's like a little rudder that steers a big ship or a little spark that sets a whole forest on fire. You can do more damage with your tongue than any other part of your body. Just listen to how we talk about each other and to each other sometimes. Listen to the talk at home, in the car, in the workplace. You know, we hear the death that comes out of our own mouths, the gossip we all like to hear, the lies, the slander, blasphemy, betrayal, profanity and prejudice, the twisting of the truth, usually to make us look good. We know how sharp our tongues can be, and we know the harm we can do to others with them. We have been hurt by the quick tongue of others. We have lashed out our tongues at others. With our tongues, we tear down and put down. We kill and destroy. We put the worst construction on things. We curse the neighbor for whom Jesus died. Could such things as these corrupted and poisoned tongues of ours ever be instruments of the Holy Spirit? The Pentecost answer is yes. Yes, they can. As surely as the tongues of fire that fell upon every disciple that day. The greatest thing of Pentecost is not that a group of marginally educated Galileans spoke in foreign languages and dialects all of a sudden. That is indeed a marvelous thing. something that is repeated whenever the Bible is translated or whenever a missionary preaches Christ in a new language that has never carried the gospel of Jesus Christ before. But the greatest thing of Pentecost is that God stoops. He lowers himself to use human mouths to spread the message of his salvation to all people. He doesn't use angels. He doesn't use the saints who have gone before us. He doesn't speak to us directly or in voices or dreams, except in the rarest circumstances. Instead, he employs the mouths of sinners, the likes of you and me, with our untamable tongues. He tames our tongues to speak his word of forgiveness, so that the cleansing blood of Jesus may be sprinkled throughout the whole world and on every single person in his or her own language and dialect. We don't have a rushing wind from heaven or tongues as a fire. That was the first Pentecost, and the wind and fire marked it as something special. But we have the real and ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. We have baptism and the word and sacrament, just as the first disciples did. That's how Pentecost continues. It continues where Jesus puts his sacrificial body and blood into mouths under the bread and wine, purifying and cleansing mouths to speak in his service. It continues where he puts his word on our lips and in our hearts, the word that says, Jesus died for you, and for his sake you are forgiven and have eternal life in his name. It continues where he breathes his spirit into us with his word so that we would exhale the hope in Christ that fills us into a world that gasps for hope. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.